Canto 8, Chapter 11. The Danavas annihilated and revived. Sri Shuka said, when thereafter, by the grace of the Supreme Personality, the Suras had regained their spirits, Indra, Vayu and the others, without hesitation, resumed the fight against the troops who formerly had driven them back in the battle. When the so very mighty Indra, angry with the son of Virochana, Bali, took up his thunderbolt, all his people cried, "Alas, alas!" Bali, who attentive and well equipped, moved about on the great battlefield, was by him who carries the thunderbolt opposed and rebuked as follows. "You cheater, you fool, with your magic, you try to be of control and win with illusions. You try to conquer us who have mastered the illusion as if we were children whose possessions you can take by diverting their attention. Those who desire to advance and be free by deceptive means, such enemies of the gods, I bring down, such fools I deny the positions they have taken. I am the one who today will put an end to you and your jugglery by severing your head with my 100-jagged thunderbolt. You wicked soul with your bodies, bring it on!" Bali retorted, "All present here on this battlefield are subjected to the rule of time and successively acquire, with what they do, a reputation, achieve a victory, suffer defeat, and then find their death. Because the entire world is moved by time, an enlightened soul who sees this will not rejoice or complain. In that sense, you all pretty much lost your way. We, who manage to control ourselves in that respect, reject these embarrassing words of yours that the saintly feel sorry for." Sri Shuka said, after, as a valiant hero, thus having chided the mighty Indra, Bali, the subduer of the greatest, attacked him again with iron arrows on his bow that he tightened to his ear in the process. The god, who thus was derided by his silver-tongued enemy, remained, just like an elephant beaten with a rod, unmoved under the lesson being taught. When the master of destruction, Indra, used the infallible bolt against him, Bali, he, being struck, crashed with his heavenly vehicle to the ground, like a mountain with its wings being clipped. Seeing that his mate had fallen, his most intimate friend and well-wisher, Jamba, stepped forward in solidarity with his hurt companion. He, a man of superpower, riding the lion, took position with his club and hit Indra and his elephant with great force on the shoulder. Struck by the great blow, the elephant sank stunned down to its knees and fell unconscious to the earth. When Indra's driver, Matali, thereupon brought his chariot, which was drawn by 1,000 horses, he mounted the vehicle and left his elephant behind. In appreciation of the chariot driver's service, Jambasura, the best of the Danavas, smiled and struck him, the driver, in the fight with his fire-blazing trident. Matali, bracing himself, managed to tolerate the excruciating pain, but Indra, most infuriated, decapitated Jamba with his thunderbolt. When Jambasura's kin heard from Narada Rishi that he had been slain, Namuchi, Bala and Paka hurried over there as fast as they could. With gross insults cursing Indra to hurt him in the heart, they besieged him with arrows that came down like a torrent of rain over a mountain. The 1,000 horses of the King of Heaven were assailed by as many arrows that were all quickly launched at once. With the 200 arrows that next to that by Paka all at once were aimed and released against Matali and the chariot with all its upkeep, thus a most remarkable feat could be witnessed in the battle. Namuchi contributed with 15 gold-feathered all-powerful arrows that, cutting through the air, made a noise over the field like a thundercloud full of rain. The Asuras covered Indra and his chariot driver from all sides with a dense shower of arrows that covered the sun just like clouds during the rainy season do. Like traders shipwrecked in the middle of the ocean, the entire assembly of demigods and their retinue, who could not discern him any longer, bereft of their leader, began to wail under the pressure and intimidation of the superiority of the enemy. Indra, he who overpowers the mightiest, thereupon, to their delight, managed to free himself from the hell of arrows, together with his horses, chariot, flag and driver, radiating in all directions of the sky and the earth, with an effulgence resembling the sun at the end of the night. When the Godhead saw how his army in the battle was oppressed by the enemy, he, fuming with anger, took up his thunderbolt to kill his opponents. Before the eyes of their family members, he then, in order to create fear in them, O king, with the bolt severed the heads of the trunks of Bala and Paka. Namuchi, another demon, witnessing the two being slaughtered, grieved over them, and enraged, made a serious attempt to kill Indra, O Lord of Men. With in his hand an iron spear, hung with bells and decorated with gold, he strode in fury against Indra, roaring like a lion, "And now you're dead!" and struck. The Lord of the Gods, Indra, who saw it descending from the sky with great speed, smashed it to pieces in its flight, O king, while the demon himself from a fuming Indra received the thunderbolt on his shoulder to cut off his head. But the powerful bolt, the same weapon that in the past by the king of the gods so successfully was used to pierce Vritrasura, could not even scratch his skin. That defiance of Namuchi's neck was an extraordinarily wondrous thing. With the bolt thus rendered ineffective, Indra became very afraid of the enemy and wondered, "What is this? What superior force allows such a miraculous thing to happen on earth? With this same bolt I formerly cut off the wings of mountains flying with them, for they killed the people as they with their great weight came down on earth." Vritrasura, who was so powerful with the austerities of Tvashtha, was killed by it, just as many other powerful characters impervious to all other weapons. And now that bolt, strong as a Brahmastra, is repelled after being released against a less important demon. Rendered as useless as a rod, I can wield it no longer. Indra, lamenting thus, then out of the blue was addressed by a voice that said, "This Danava has an arrangement that he cannot be annihilated by anything dry or wet. He would not die by something moist or dry because of a benediction I granted him, and therefore, O Indra, you must think of some other means to deal with your enemy." After having heard that ominous voice, Lord Indra meditated most attentively and arrived thereupon at the insight that foam had to be the way that was neither dry nor wet. Thus he took hold of Namuchi's head and killed him with a weapon that was wet nor dry by forcing it down his throat. Thereupon, all the sages most pleased covered the Almighty One with flower garlands. The two leading singers of heaven, Vishvavasu and Paravasu, sang hymns, the godly souls sounded kettle drums, and the heavenly dancers danced in bliss. Vayu, Agni, Varuna and others, though, vigorously started to eliminate the other belligerent asuras as if they were lions killing deer. Devarishi Narada Muni was by Lord Brahma sent to the demigods, O king, to forbid the ones in power the total annihilation of the Danavas he saw taking place. Sri Narada said, "Under the protection of the arms and the fortune of Narayana, you all procured the nectar. Since you thus found your fortune, you now must stop with this fighting." Shuka said, controlling their aggravation and anger, they accepted the words of the sage and returned all to their heavenly abodes while being praised by their followers. They who had survived the battle picked up the lifeless body of Bali as also the rest of those who had fallen, and all went, with Narada's permission, to the mountain called Asta. At that place, the ones who still had their limbs and head were resuscitated by Sukracharya by means of his knowledge of the Samjivani prayer, his science of reanimation. Also, Bali was brought back by the touch of Ushana, but despite being defeated, he, with his experience in worldly affairs, did not complain to have regained his memory and senses.